Sportscast, October 2nd, 2020. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, Periscope, iTunes, or YouTube. But if you are on iTunes, please leave a rating and review. It will help us out tremendously. And of course, visit us on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net for the latest and greatest in sports. Also, we are live on DAB Digital Radio. So you can definitely listen to us on a live radio format. You go to thesportscast.net and you can definitely visit us there. This episode is brought to you by Insta Bible app. You can download the Insta Bible app on the iOS App Store. And of course, you could get it for iPhone only. It's been one heck of a week for the NFL. The first cases of coronavirus happened all within one team, the Tennessee Titans. And of course, they've rescheduled the game to week 7. Several players and staff were infected, contracted the coronavirus, and the protocols are sitting in. This was supposed to happen eventually and happened in week 3. Today, we have two contributors joining us today. Is Jeff Favre and Ryan Krista. Welcome to the Sportscast.
Appreciate it, Santiago.
Glad to be here.
So the Tennessee Titans and Pittsburgh Steelers will be playing, I believe 13 weeks straight because they have a bye week this weekend. We'll start with Ryan. Ryan, what was your first reaction when you heard the news and what you think about the scheduling issues?
Well, I mean, it's never a good thing, you know, on was it Monday or Tuesday and you hear that in your first initial reaction, not just the Titans, but they just played a game against the Vikings. But luckily, it seems to just be isolated with the Titans, which is not great, but it's a good that it hasn't spread. But like you said, this, you know, the way Roger Goodell, you know, they have plans for this. I mean, really, the plan was them to actually play Monday or Tuesday night, but with the additional infections that the Titans had, you know, there's no way they could play this game this week, according to the league. So, but yes, 13 straight weeks in the NFL is very grueling, and it'll be interesting to see how if it takes long-term effects in both the Steelers and the Titans.
Jeff Farmer, go ahead, Ryan.
But I just think I don't know if this will be the last time it's going to happen. You know, the disease isn't going away right now, but you know, there's a lot of protocols, but it's going to be everybody's got to be flexible. It's 2020.
Jeff, what are your reactions? How do you think the NFL has handled this already?
I think they've done a good job. And if anybody thought that there wasn't going to be any outbreaks with any teams, I think that was probably unrealistic from the beginning. So I think they've handled it well. The other thing, too, is the NFL has time on their side, because if it gets to a point where they have to say, you know what, we're going to shut everybody down for a week or two, who really cares if you play the Super Bowl in February or March? You know, as a fan, I'll still watch it. You know what I mean? If the playoffs end up getting pushed back or something like that, I don't think it'll come to that. But I do think that plays in their favor, knowing that they have time. You know, you just continue to do the right thing and follow your protocols. And at the end of the day, I think as long as you end up with a full season, even though it'll be a weird season because of the changes that have had to be made, at the end of the day, you know, as a fan, you just look back and say, hey, it's good that we got a season in.
The NFL,
that's how I look at it. And I think it's been handled pretty well.
Yeah, the NFL is trying to keep it at 17 weeks. They do not want to get out of that 17-week window. So we'll see how things are going. Let's go week 4. Of course, a couple of games. One heck of a game yesterday with the Broncos beating the New York Jets. High-scoring match. Ryan, give us a quick snap of what happened last night.
Well, as a Bronco fan, I should be very happy that we got, you know, our first win of the season. But it's one of those games you're excited right when the game's over. Then you think about that game and you're like, oh, boy, we got a lot of work ahead of us, you know. In fact, you let Sam Darnold go 50 yards on a touchdown run, you know, that's kind of inexcusable. And but Brett Rippon, you know, for his first career game, it was hard to watch at times because you see why he hasn't played much. You know, he's undersized, a weak arm. But you understand why he is playing, you know, because he understands the game. And I think he's just got limitations. And it was good for him to get out there, and it's good for him to get film you know, for his future. You know, obviously he's not the long-term answer for the Broncos, but with him playing, I think you saw that, you know, okay, where are we really going this year? You know, I had high hopes for this team to be a fringe playoff team. You know, they finished the season really good. We brought in some offensive weapons, shored up a little bit of holes on defense, but the Broncos got a lot of injury issues, obviously. Von Miller's probably out for the most of the year. Cortland Sutton's out for the year. Phillip Lindsay's, I don't know when he's going to get back. You know, now Noah Font's down now. A.J. Boye, the cornerback we brought in from the Jaguars, is, you know, still not close to returning. So it's going to be a tough year. But, you know, it was good to get a win. You know, they got 10 days to heal, and then we head to Foxborough.
Jeff, the Jets are 0-4. Is Adam Gase's days are numbered, or is he also pushing for Trevor Lawrence tanking season?
I haven't seen a lot that would make me want to keep Gase as a head coach. It just, man, it's hard to watch. I saw, you know, even a few of the ESPN personalities were tracking on Twitter just something as simple as putting a guy in motion. And I want to say throughout the first, I could be a little off on this. I think they said the first 30 plays, only 3 plays did they use any kind of motion. Now, if you watch an offense run by Andy Reid or Kyle Shanahan or a multitude of other play callers, they use creative ways to get the receivers quality matchups, create running lanes, all those things. And with Gase, it just feels as though you don't get any of that. And, you know, I'm still on the bandwagon that thinks Sam Darnold, it could be a quality talent. But we have no way of knowing because he's just put in this horrible situation. The Jets are in trouble. They just had a complete reset, but it feels as though you've already driven the car off the cliff. You know, so I don't know where they go from here. But like Ryan said, I mean, the Broncos have 30% of their salary cap on the IR. And you still lose a home game to them. And that's not to bash the Broncos, but I'm just saying you're playing a team that's more beat up than anyone, and you're playing at home on a short week. You know, that's not a great showing for the Jets.
Of course, the New York Jets are 0-4. They're a quarter
away. To
kind
of piggyback off of that real quick, Santiago.
Go ahead, Ryan.
You know, one way that you really see how I think the Jets played kind of hard yesterday, but what were they? They were undisciplined. I mean, 6 personal fouls, that shows a team that's not well coached or, you know, well focused, you know. And those are crucial penalties. Penalties that really kept the Broncos' drives alive, you know, and gave them second chances that led to a lot of points. So it's just say, you know, the lack of diversity on offense, you know, undisciplined, you know, times this year, unmotivated, untrusted. I'm really surprised Adam Gase right now, 1 o'clock on today, still has a job, you know, but so does Dan Quinn, so who knows? So I don't know.
Yes or no answers. Ryan, is Sam Darnold the man in New York?
Right now, yes.
Jeff?
Yeah, I don't think he's the problem.
All right, let's go into this weekend's matches. Let's go first with the Saints at Detroit. Of course, Detroit has been struggling also with the Saints. Jeff, who do you think has that matchup?
I was encouraged that Detroit found a way to finish a game. They beat the Cardinals, who to that point hadn't lost. And Detroit is another one of those Jekyll and Hyde teams that for a quarter they play really well, and then for the next quarter they don't. And the Saints, I've watched 2 of their games now. And you don't want to overplay the dead arm thing with Breeze, but you can't just dump it off to Kamara every other play. And I mean, Kamara's a great player. Don't get me wrong. He's a great player.
Great for fantasy.
And if they get Michael Thomas back, that'll help because he can turn some of those shorter throws into larger gains. I'm going to say the Lions, and I very well could be wrong on that, but I don't like how the Saints are playing right now.
Ryan, do you share Jeff's philosophy?
Absolutely. You know, it's crazy. You know, Drew Brees, year after year, one of the leading yards per game, you know, players in the NFL has become, you know, a check down Charlie, you know, as Jeff had said, you know. Yeah, I think a lot has to do with Michael Thomas not being there. That's a guy who catches 100 balls a year. And, you know, they don't have a lot of explosive players other than Kamara at times on offense. But with that saying, you know, the Lions are one DeAndre Swift catch in week one away from being 2-1 and really being in, you know, in heat for the NFC North. So I'm going to go with Jeff too. I'm going to go with the Lions with a victory today.
It's Sunday. Hopefully Matt Stafford has a good arm on Sunday. Let's go with the Chargers at Tampa. There is no Fournette in this game. Will it matter, Ryan?
No, I'm going to go with the Buccaneers. To me, this, you know, after that week one clunker, I think, against the Saints, which the more you look at the Saints is, you know, how did the Buccaneers, you know, look like that? But the Buccaneers defense is, you know, playing head and shoulders better than they played in several years. You know, they're flying to the ball. They're putting pressure on the quarterback. You know, in the offense, you know, Tom Brady is being Tom Brady in the sense of what we've seen the last couple of years, control the offense. Are they dynamic? Not necessarily, but, you know, getting the ball to Evans, and now Gronkowski was back in the action last week after a limited touches the first couple weeks. You know, it's not, you know, without Fournette, yes, you lose the power run game, but you still got Ronald Jones. You still got LeSean McCoy, you know, for third downs. I just, you know, but then you go and you look at the Chargers. You go 2 weeks ago, they take the Chiefs down to overtime, and they well, should have won that game. And then they go and you're playing a hobbled Panthers team and you have a clunker, but that's what happens when you got a rookie quarterback up and down. We all, I'm going to go with experience and Tom Brady and the Buccaneers winning.
Jeff, you've seen this Chargers team play. Can they go up against Tampa Bay and beat them?
Well, could, but not likely. I mean, the Chargers defense is loaded. They did just put Chris Harris on the IR, so that's less than ideal. Because he was, you know, he's playing pretty well so far for them. I like the Chargers defense a lot, but they're always so beat up. They just manage to always have these injuries everywhere, year after year. And Justin Herbert, look, he's made some big time plays and big time throws, but he's still a rookie. And you always ask yourself, with a guy that's only played a couple games, is there a bigger advantage to him seeing more, or is there a bigger advantage to defensive coordinators seeing more of him? So we're going to start to get into that water where we find that out. And my initial feel, I think he's going to be a guy that makes some big plays and makes some like eye-opening throws, but I still see him as a guy that's going to turn the ball over too much. Not saying permanently, but at least as a rookie. So I like the Bucs too.
With the Saints kind of struggling, Ryan, do you see the Bucs taking over the NFC South?
Yeah, it'd be interesting. I think I'm not quite sure what week they play again, but I would definitely think the Buccaneers will be improving. They are improving, and that's what happens. You bring a new quarterback, you know, his experience and Hall of Fame worthy as Tom Brady, but with a limited training camp and offseason, it's going to take time for new quarterbacks to get adjusted. I think you saw that in week one, and then week two, you know, they improved. And then, you know, seeing firsthand against the Broncos last week, you know, that he had control of the offense, control of the game. He's not a game manager per se, as you limited Tom Brady, but he's managing the game quite well. And that's what Bruce Arians, I think, why. You know, they had a guy in Jameis Winston who could make all the throws last year, but he was also making all the throws to the other team too. So, you know, while he was dynamic at times on offense, they don't want that. They want to, you know, manage the game, control the game, and that's what you're going to get Tom Brady. As season goes on, I think you'll see the Buccaneers as a whole get very competitive and definitely, I think, you know, turn into the favorite in the NFC South.
Jacksonville at Cincinnati, Jeff. This is a low-key game. Jacksonville lost pretty bad against the Dolphins last week. Cincinnati came after a tie with the Eagles. Who do you have in this matchup?
I like the Cincinnati battles. I mean, I'll say that for them. I just hope they don't get Burrow killed behind that offensive line. I mean, some of the shots that he's starting to take, I mean, that one hit that he took from Malik Jackson looked like an outtake from the water boy. I mean, he got, like, wrestling moved, catapult, just drilled. So with all that said, I'll take the Bengals because Burrow is at least giving them a chance most weeks. And the Jags, you know, even though the Jags did start out a little better than maybe what we anticipated, I think they're going to be pretty up and down this year. So I like the Bengals.
Ryan, will we see more Chenault with Jacksonville? What's going to happen this weekend?
They need to get the ball. You know, that game against the Dolphins, I had high expectations after the first 2 weeks for the Jaguars and Gardner Minshew. And I think not having DJ Shark, you know, on the outside definitely hurt the Jaguars. So, yes, they need to get the ball, the Chenault, you know, and they got to be able to run the ball with Thompson, you know, and find that balance. Because you know, that's when Gardner Minshew is at his best. But, you know, this is a make or break game for the Jaguars because you're going against, you know, the Bengals who are winless this year. You know, they got a tie. But, you know, this team is, you know, struggling to finish games. It's do or die for the Jaguars. You know, and like Jeff said, Joe Burrow's fighting. He's a competitor out there. Fun guy to watch. You know, he's got, you know, 821 yards in the first three games, which is, you know, a great start to a rookie campaign. But I'm going to go with Gardner Minshew and to pull this out.
Minnesota has been not the Minnesota we see last year. And, of course, Houston had one heck of 3 weeks. Ryan, who do you have with that matchup?
If this is ever a do-or-die game for anybody, it's for the, you know, Houston Texans. We've said what a ridiculously tough start to the season, you know. But at the same time, you know, I think their division's still up for grabs, you know. Who's going to know what's going to happen to the Titans and how many players are going to be out long-term with the virus? You know, and playing 13 straight weeks, you know, that team's going to fade. You know, so the door is still open. We tell the Jaguars, you know, are up and down, you know, and the Colts, you know, who knows what you're going to get week in and week out with Phillip Rivers. So the door isn't shut on the Texans, but they absolutely positively need this game. And so do the Vikings, you know. But the Vikings, I don't think, are in worse shape because their division's much better, with especially the Packers. So, I mean, both teams absolutely need it. Kirk Cousins, you know, Sean Watson. I think both of them got to bring their A game. And obviously, you know, that Bill O'Brien, you know, we talk about how bad Adam Gase and Dan Quinn are, Bill O'Brien's GM status, you know, might be the worst of all. You know, these trades he consistently makes, you know, set back his team consistently, you know. But, you know, if you brought in David Johnson, you got to use him. You got to find that balance and let Deshaun make plays. That's what he is. He's a playmaker. All that said, I think that the Texans win this game.
Jeff, Minnesota at Houston.
Yeah, I like the Texans just because, I mean, the Texans were just completely outclassed against the Chiefs and Ravens, but you saw against the Steelers, they at least put up a fight, and that's not easy to go to Pittsburgh and play against Pittsburgh's defense. So I like the Texans just because, generally speaking, when you have a toss-up game, I'll take the quarterback that I think's better. And I like Watson better than Cousins. You know, I mean, Watson might turn the ball over a little bit more, but he also gives you a lot more dynamic plays. And it seems as though he's at least starting to get on the same page with Will Fuller and Cobb, and their offense should just continue to grow from here.
The undefeated Seattle Seahawks visit Miami against Ryan Fitzpatrick. Jeff, who do we have for that matchup?
The Seahawks. I mean, Russell Wilson. I mean, look, I'm a Chiefs fan. I love Mahomes. I think Russell Wilson is playing the absolute best football in the entire NFL right now. He's playing incredible, and the Seahawks will win that game.
Ryan Krista, Seattle and Miami.
I'm going to go with the Seahawks, you know, for obvious reasons. Jeff said Russell Wilson's playing well, but never doubt a Ryan Fitzpatrick-led team. If that guy just, you know, he's feast or famine, you know, if he brings that feast, like, and I don't know, maybe the Seahawks defense just seems to be struggling a lot this year. They've won a lot of close games, and they're scoring a lot of points, but they're also giving up, I think, a lot more points than, you know, a usual Seahawks team gives up. I don't know if it's, you know, they're definitely, you know, scoring quicker, so they obviously they're playing defense more, but they're winning a lot of close games, you know, high scoring games, and I think eventually it's going to come back and bite them. But it's hard to go against Russell Wilson right now in any game. Yeah.
What are your thoughts about that, Jeff, with the Seahawks defense?
Yeah, well, their defense is struggling. I mean, there's no doubt about it. They're just not playing well in the secondary, and they're giving up a lot more yards than you expect from a Seattle defense. And even with Jamal Adams, he's been great around the line of scrimmage, but everybody's beating him coverage-wise. And that's going to have to change because that Cam Chancellor role was perfect for him because he can run and hit everywhere, but you still have to be able to cover some, you know, you still have to be able to cover the tight end a bit or, you know, not be a liability in coverage. So he's going to have to play better in that regard. And I think he will in due time.
Great game to tweak it up against Miami. Cleveland are over .500, over 500, 2-1. They go into Dallas. Jeff, will they continue the winning streak, or will Dallas have their first win, I believe, or their second win this weekend?
I didn't think we'd be talking about Aldon Smith 5 years later, but I like the Cowboys because the Browns would be an awesome team in like 1992, and even now, I like what they're trying to do. They're trying to limit Mayfield's mistakes. Chubb and Hunt are both – they're probably both top five running backs in the NFL. I mean, they're great. But inevitably, unless your defense is just dominant, you're going to get in games where you get behind. And I don't trust Mayfield to protect the ball if they do fall behind. So I like the Cowboys.
Dallas Cowboys, Ryan Krista, Cleveland at Dallas.
Jeff made a lot of good points. You know, Aldon Smith, it's a kind of a feel-good story. You know, you hate to see anybody succumb to addiction, you know, and come back. You know, first couple weeks, you know, he's unstoppable. But, you know, but the Dallas defense in general, you know, they've got injury issues as usual from the linebacker position. You know, and that's the tough because you're going against a very balanced team in the Browns, you know. Baker made, you know, Kevin Stefanski's offense, which is – comes right from the, you know, Minnesota when they were doing good, you know, that balanced attack. And then you hit the deep balls with Landry and Odom, or Beckham, is perfect, you know, because like Jeff said, they're limiting the times that Mayfield throws, but they're doing what he does best and throwing that ball deep to their best players. But I think the Dallas has got more dynamic players and they're just a better team. So go with the Cowboys.
There you have it, Cleveland, right?
Oh, no, I'm going to go with the Cowboys.
Okay, Dallas. Okay. Okay, this is going to be 10-second answers because I want to elaborate more on New England at Kansas City. Ryan, Arizona at Carolina.
Arizona.
Jeff.
Yeah, Arizona.
Indianapolis at Chicago. Nick Foles is the starting quarterback. Jeff.
Chicago.
Ryan.
Chicago.
Wait, okay. Baltimore at Washington. Chase Young is out. Does that make a difference, Ryan?
There's still, you know, you're going against a pretty mad Ravens team after Monday night. So I think the battle of the DMV goes to the Ravens.
Jeff, the Ravens are beat up. Will they beat Washington?
Yeah, they're still going to beat Washington. Yes.
Giants at the Rams. The Rams almost beat Buffalo. Ryan, what do you think will happen in that matchup?
Oh, I think the Rams start to feel good about themselves again. If they play like they did in the second half, they're a very tough team. You know, letting the leash off Jared Goff, Henderson ran the ball well. They're very explosive offense too. But so I'm going to – you get yourself feeling good when you play the Giants or Jets, and I think they'll feel good about themselves this week.
Winnable game. Jeff?
I think the Giants will keep it close for a while because I actually like how Dan Jones has played. But, yeah, the Rams will have too much firepower.
Interesting question because there's been talk about him about this week and, of course, Sam Darnold. Okay, let's go game of the week. Not by Jeff's choice, but by default. New England at Kansas City. Cam Newton looking good so far. Jeff, give us a breakdown.
That game, the first half, and especially the first quarter, is going to tell us a lot because – Belichick's strategy against Kansas City has always, or at least since Mahomes has been around, has always been the same. Try to keep the Patriots offense on the field as much as possible, jam and mug the heck out of the Chiefs receivers and force them to consistently beat man coverage. Now, I think the Chiefs are built better to do that now with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and it's harder to play that way when you have to account for the running back position. But I'll be interested to see how that plays out because the Patriots defense is still really good. Their offense, I'll say this, the game can go one of two ways. If the Patriots are able to have long drives and score, then it could be a tightly contested game. But this also feels like a game, if the Chiefs do jump out to a lead, the Patriots will be in a lot of trouble. because they're not equipped to play from behind. And they did against Seattle. I know, you know, they made a nice comeback there. But the Chiefs defense has actually played fairly well. Not to say they haven't had any issues, but the second half of the Chargers game and the second half of the Ravens game, they really didn't give up a whole lot. So the defense has played pretty well. Their pass rush has really come around. And Cam Newton, if you keep him in the pocket, he can make a lot of throws, but I don't know that he's going to beat you enough to keep up with Mahomes. So I think the Chiefs will win, but I don't think it'll be a blowout or anything like that. I think the line of 7, like I could picture a 31-24 or 31-28 type game all said and done.
That sounds pretty accurate. Ryan, are you optimistic with New England?
Whenever Bill Belichick's on the sidelines, you feel optimistic because I feel like he loves to rise to the occasion. I feel like he's probably been in the lab all week. You know what? I don't, like Jeff said, you can't keep the Chiefs down for 60 minutes, but you can come up with a game plan and give yourself some time in the first half, slow them down, which I think they've done in the past. You know, the Chiefs are, the thing about the Chiefs is, you know, with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and I think their defense every year is getting better. They're tougher and tougher out each year. Yes, their offense is still got firepower everywhere. But I think the evolution of this team is how much better their defense, how hard it is to score. You know, what they did to Lamar Jackson last week, you know, was awesome for that team. You know, as a Broncos fan, it scares the heck out of me. You know, I don't know when we're going to beat them again, you know. But for the future of this team, you know, is being balanced. You know, I think being able to find a consistent running game for the future is going to keep Patty Mahomes in this league all along. You know, being able to let him be a thrower instead of, you know, running around and making all these crazy plays, you know, I'm not drifting away from this game itself, but I just love the direction of the Chiefs going future, not just this year, but forward. In this game, you know, I think, like Jeff said, they'll keep it close, but I think they'll really be able to shut down Cam Newton, the Chiefs, make him one-dimensional too. I think this is a game, you know, it might be even tied at halftime. The Patriots might be even winning, but I think the talent level of the Chiefs, the ability to score, the speed, you just can't slow them down for 60 minutes. And I think the adjustments that the Chiefs will make throughout the game will give options, you know, for Mahomes and friends. And I think they'll win by 2 scores.
Jeff, you agree? Any comments?
No, I mean, no, I like what Ryan's saying. I mean, 2 scores is aggressive, but certainly, like I said, I mean, I agree with the fact that it very well could be a very close game or even, you know, like tied at halftime. But the beginning of the game is going to play a huge role because, again, if the Chiefs do jump out to a lead, the Patriots just aren't built to play that way anymore. You know, they're built to kind of be in these slugfest type games. So, but Belichick, the one thing about him is he just controls the pace so well. And that's not to say Andy Reid doesn't, but Belichick is just so good at making you play how he wants to play. And that, you know, the matchup between him and Reid will be a great one.
We'll see who out-coaches who.
And just one more thing about that, you know, when you're the Super Bowl champion, you're going to get everybody's best shot every week. And I think that happened against the Chargers. You know, they're learning to be the champions. And that doesn't take anything away how good the Chiefs are. It's learning to, you know, each and every week getting the other team's best shot. So games may seem close for a little bit, not just this week but beyond. But I just the talent level of the Chiefs is what's going to separate them from the other teams in this league.
There you have it. That's our Sunday afternoon, 4 o'clock game. Okay, back to Warp Speed. Buffalo at Las Vegas. Ryan?
Huge game for my local Buffalo Bills, and I think they go to 4-0 with a victory in Las Vegas.
Josh Allen. Jeff, does Las Vegas have a chance?
There's always a chance, but this is a game I think could get kind of ugly. I think the Bills could win big in this one.
I'm thinking Las Vegas.
Santiago, do I need to send you a box of Josh Jacks?
I don't mind. I take gifts, by the way. That's perfect. Sunday Night Football, the question mark about Wentz versus at San Francisco. San Francisco has a full couple of injuries. Jeff, who do you got in that matchup?
Until Wentz shows that he's out of his own head, I'm taking the Niners. The Niners are beat up, but they still have a lot of young talent, and Wentz just has to get right somehow.
Jeff, Ryan, who wins in an empty Levi Stadium?
I'm going to go with the 49ers, led by Mr. Nicky Mullins, the pride of Southern Mississippi.
Does anyone know if Garoppolo will be playing this weekend?
No. I don't think
okay.
So.
Making sure. Okay, guys. Game two and NBA Finals tonight. Jeff, who takes it, Heat or Lakers?
Lakers. I mean, it was a long shot in the first place, and now the Heat are all sorts of beat up. So that's a bad recipe.
Ryan Krista?
I agree. You know, I wish it'd be a great series because that's what, you know, we want as fans. But Santiago, I'm sorry about your local Heat team.
Look, I don't blame you. Maybe, man, they can steal games. I see the writing on the wall already. So
yes.
So we'll see. Low ratings, game one. Maybe game two will be better. Poll question of yesterday. What is your favorite homemade cookies to bake? Chocolate chip cookies, snickerdoodle, oatmeal, or sugar? Let's go with Jeff.
Chocolate chip by a mile, man.
Ryan Krista?
Sugar.
Sugar cookies. Oh. But on Christmas, or you do it throughout the year?
I just love a good plain sugar cookie. I don't know about
the sprinkles or not sprinkles.
Sprinkles and frosting, yeah.
There you go. Anyways, Jeff Farber, what is the best way for people to reach you to talk to you about how close this Kansas City-New England game will be?
The best way to follow along is at JT Farber on Twitter.
And Mad Dog Report, what's the best way to reach you to request a recipe from you?
Mad Dog Report 18, and I'm not giving away my secret sugar cookie recipe to anybody, Santiago.
There you have it. I got to create one for
Santiago,
myself.
Santiago, and other news, it's been 5 years ago tomorrow that the last time I saw you. I just came up on my timeline and memories.
Oh, my gosh.
Down in Gainesville, floor. Yes.
We got to do reunion sometime. Maybe in Pittsburgh. That would be a good place to
all right.
Or maybe in Rochester. Anyways, I haven't been up to upstate New York. I've been to Buffalo, but I haven't been to Rochester. Anyways,
for a Bills game then. There we go.
Yeah, Ryan Wilson Stadium, which they might change the name. Anyways, you can reach us at the Sportscast One on Twitter or at thesportscast.net. And we might have a Champions League episode a little bit later in the day, but I gotta try to schedule that. And of course, you can definitely reach us for any tips. But definitely, guys, it was a great honor being for this week four preview. Any closing words before we head off to watch the Kansas City New England game?
Just enjoy, guys. Have a good weekend.
Ryan?
Well, I'm basking in the victory of Friday here at the Broncos. Now I can sit back and watch football, you know, this weekend. So a lot of good games, you know, a lot of good games tomorrow in the college ranks. Got a lot of good games in the pro ranks. So everybody enjoy the pigskin.
Let's go Heat. Bye, guys.